Gerald. Let's hit our Bible readings.
Our first reading is Paul's second letter to Timothy, first chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mou tonu tana kupu ki a tātou. And our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.'" Tarongapai tene a te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Yeah, I might use it. Thanks. I'll see. I don't know. Maybe not. Kia ora, te whānau. How you doing? Good to see you all. Hello at the back there. Yay. It's good to be together again. Strange times that we live in, but I kind of think it's kind of going to be the new normal, isn't it? Justin, our bishop, just the other day was saying kind of the sort of slightly, not, I wouldn't say encouraging, maybe challenging, words where he was saying, you know, that, we can just sort of expect this from now on. we can't wait for a time when, it'll go back to the way it was. So rather than thinking about, hopefully it'll all be over soon and we can return to normal, we need to be thinking about, well, who do we want to be? Who do we want to be as people in what this crazy new situation is? You know, whatever it throws up, whatever new aspects to it come, who do we want to be? And I think that's a good way to look at it. And an encouragement, really. It's a challenge as well, isn't it? Who do we want to be? So I think we want to be, I hope we want to be, and the world could do with people like this. We want to be people that are more like Jesus, people that are able to hold their heads up in strange times and encourage others, encourage each other, and know the hope of the calling of God in our hearts. Know the fact that because the God of the universe, the God who created everything, is with us, we've got something that we can bring to bless those around us and to encourage those around us. And we've got some of it for ourselves to encourage us too. Does that sound good? So that's that. Today we are, I'm just going to take my jacket off. Today we're celebrating St. Luke, whose feast day was on Monday this week, and Tarore, who many of us will have heard the story many times, whose gospel came down here, actually, to Kapiti Island, and we'll hear about that in a minute. She was killed on the 19th. So St. Luke's day was the 18th, which was Monday. And the 19th of October is the anniversary of her death, 1836, which is the Tuesday. And she and the Gospel of Luke are really tied up together. So it's just kind of one of those coincidences. But it turns out that, you know, the day after St. Luke's day was the day that she died. And, you know, St. Luke's gospel that she carried has brought the gospel here into this region and just done so many powerful things. So we'll hear a wee bit about that this morning. Is that all right? So that's the kind of plan. Now, I know this is a story that some of us have heard a few times, and or many times for some of us, but it's a wonderful story of just the amazing power of God to transform people's lives. It's absolutely incredible. To turn people around, sometimes in a moment, and sometimes over a long period of sustained kind of engagement with God or God's word, and even over that long period, a dramatic change happens in people's lives. So, as you all probably know, the story is that, I guess we could start it in a number of places, but we could start it up near where my grandma lived. In Matamata, which is in the Waikato, as you probably know. And my grandma and granddad had a farm there, which is still there. And she died a few years ago at the ripe old age of 103. But just before you come in, if you're driving down from the north, just before you come into Matamata, there's this little town, Waharoa. Anyone been there? Do you know it? Yeah. And there's a cheese factory there, eh? Yeah, not that I've been to that, but every time I drive through, I think, oh, that looks kind of nice, you know, but I'm on my way to, usually it was, to see my grandma. So, but that's where they lived. They lived there, and there was a mission station which only lasted 1 year, run by the Browns in Matamata. And but in that year, the Browns and Ngākuku, who is Tarore's father, and Tarore herself and a whole bunch of people got to know the Browns. And in that time, they became Christians. And a Gospel of Luke had just been printed. It was printed in Te Reo Māori. And it was just the Gospel of Luke, you know. And it was very precious because, to have the Bible printed in Te Reo Māori in a language that, you know, that people can read. It was given to Ngākuku, Tarore's father, who gave it to Tarore. She had it in a kite, you know, around her neck, a little woven flax kind of container, basket. And as I say, this mission station only lasted about a year. And then there were some wars in that region, so they decided to move out and cross the Kaimais. And in part of that moving, another war raiding party came down from Rotorua. And Tarore was on her way out with her father, Ngākuku, and a bunch of others. And sadly, she was killed. And the gospel was taken, the Gospel of Luke, was taken by the raiding party, led by a man called Uiha. And he took this gospel back to Rotorua. And he couldn't read it. But he knew it was a precious item. He thought maybe we could do something with this. You know, it might be good for making money or trading or whatever. So he took it back there, and it stayed there for a wee while. Remember, this is 1836. So this is a long time, but you know, this is back in the early days, before there was really much missionary activity. There was a little bit, especially up north. That's really where it was, Bay of Islands. So this is all happening. And meanwhile, so he's taking the Gospel of Luke back up there. Can't read it. Ngākuku, Taro, his father, comes back home and is grieving, obviously. You know, he's lost his 12, she was 12 years old. It's funny, isn't it? Just like the girl in the Gospels that Jesus heals, you know, the 12-year-old, where he says, what is it? Now I've got Te Reo Māori, my Aramaic's gone. Not that I've really got Aramaic. What? Talitha kum, thank you. Yeah, it's Talitha kum, he says to her. Yeah, and this 12-year-old girl is raised from the dead. It's quite incredible. Tarore wasn't raised from the dead, but her death and what came out of it and what came out of the Gospel of Luke and the transformation that had happened in her family's lives bore so much fruit. They, you know, there's that phrase in the Bible, the church is built on the blood of the martyrs. And you know, on her blood was built so many good things, because Ngākuku, her father, came back to his village and he preached, we're not going to go for revenge. Utu, as you probably know, it's not just revenge, it's a sort of reciprocation of life. And so it applies to good things as well as bad things. You know, it's keeping a good balance. So if someone gives you a gift, it's utu to give a gift back, you know. And sometimes those things will escalate. So a gift will turn into a meal, and it'll turn into a bigger meal, and kind of into a feast. And then, you know, but also the bad, you know, that if you take a life, and then maybe we'll take two of your, you know, it can escalate. It's what we've been like as people, actually, all throughout history, isn't it? With the whole revenge thing. So, but he said, we're not going to do that. And he said, there's been enough blood shed already. And because of the gospel of life that he believed in, we just heard those words. I love these words from 1 Timothy. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? He abolished death, and that's the faith that that Ngākuku had. And he stood there and preached, you know, those words at the funeral of his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, Tarore, and said, we're not going to pursue utu, we're going to trust the justice of God. And he believed in that life and resurrection of Jesus, who had abolished death. He knew his daughter had been killed, but he knew that Jesus had abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so for him, the way of revenge wasn't the right way, but we're going to trust the justice of God. And the justice of God is a wonderful thing, because I think in doing that, you know, and saying, right, we'll leave it up to God. We'll trust God for justice, and I'm forgiving this person who killed my daughter. I'm forgiving them. The justice of God is given a kind of, I don't know, an opening, a floodgate of life. And the justice of God is to turn the heart of the man that killed his daughter. You know, and it's kind of like, ha ha ha. But so what happened was, Rita, up in Rotorua, a slave had been freed from the Bay of Islands from up in Northland somewhere, and he'd come down. His name was Ripaho. Yep, thanks. So Ripaho comes down, and he's passing through. He came from Ōtaki, so he's from down this part of the world on the Kapiti coast. And he's heading home, and he comes through Rotorua. He's not a Christian, but he comes across this book, and he knows how to read. He's learned how to read from the people up there in the Bay of Islands, you know, some of the missionaries. And so he looks at this book, and he starts to read it. He's not a Christian, as I say. And it's the Gospel of Luke. that Tarore wore around her neck. And so he starts reading it, and Uita is absolutely struck by these words. It's not in one go, you know, it's like over time. Hears more and more of these words. And this good news, this Jesus that he hears about, starts to work in his life. And he comes to the point where he decides, I have to do something about this. He becomes a Christian, and he's like, I have to go at great peril to his own life, because he doesn't know anything about Ngākuku. I have to go and be reconciled with Ngākuku. I just have to go and say sorry for what I did in killing, you know, in my part in killing his daughter. Great peril to his own life. You know, he doesn't know that necessarily that Ngākuku is a Christian or anything, or that he's, you know, going to be friendly towards him and not want revenge. So he goes and he travels from Rotorua down to to Waharoa and meets Ngākuku, and there are eyewitness accounts of tears being shed, of the two embracing, and this just forgiveness and reconciliation that happens, which is, that kind of thing is so the gospel, isn't it? It's so, like, how can that sort of thing happen apart from the gospel, the life and immortality that's brought to light through Jesus Christ, the life that he brings? And it involves giving up stuff, doesn't it? It involves a death in ourselves when we forgive someone, as it were. But we have to trust the justice of God. And in trusting the justice of God, Ngākuku saw his enemy, really, become a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? So the two are reconciled. And the story, as we know, doesn't stop there, does it? Because this, well, first of all, the slave, this freed slave, Ripaho, comes down and makes it all the way home to Ōtaki. And down here, he meets Tamihana Te Rauparaha, the son of Wiramo Te Rauparaha, the great Ngāti Toa chief. You know, very renowned, especially for all his wars that he pursued, particularly in the South Island as well. So this Tamihana Te Rauparaha and his cousin Martini Te Fifi, they learn how to read from Ripaho. And at this point, Ripaho's got some pages. He's got some pages from the Bible, and he's teaching them how to read from it. But there's not much to use, so they send for some more, up to Rotorua for some more, one is that they send, and the other one is that there's a party come through. But anyway, what comes to them is the gospel of Luke that Tarori had around her neck. It travels down here, and it came to the Kapiti region. It came to Kapiti Island. And the two cousins have been absolutely struck by the gospel, and they become Christians. They give their lives. They decide they want to follow Jesus, and they want to learn how to read. So they ask Ripaho, who's still not a Christian. All these people are being converted by him reading the Bible. Isn't that incredible? He reads them the Bible. He's not a Christian. He's just reading it. And people are hearing the words of the gospel and becoming Christians. They're following Jesus. It's amazing. Anyway, he heads over to Kapiti Island, and they stay there for 6 months. Tamihana Te Rauparaha writes about this. You can read what he says, you know, and he talks about sort of sleeping on the book. You know, they spent the whole time with this book, learning how to read for 6 months. And he says, at the end of that, we could read slowly, you know. But that's a long time to just be listening to the Gospel of Luke. That's all they were listening to for 6 months, and learning how to read. And in the process, just being shaped and formed as Christians, you know, as followers of Jesus, as people who love Jesus and who want to be more like him. Amazing. And eventually, thankfully, dear old you there? Yeah, hello. So eventually, Dero Ripo as well finally becomes Christian, having done all of this, you know, work in reading the Te Reo Māori Bible, translation of St. Luke, faithfully for so many, many months. He too becomes a Christian. It's amazing. So, and all of this is before Octavius Hadfield gets here. It's like years before he gets here. Well, several years. Because what happens then is, all of these, that's how the gospel got to our bit here, our region that we live in here, is through Māori converting Māori, Māori speaking to Māori, Māori missionaries, people who just had their lives absolutely transformed by the gospel, as have many of us, just sharing that with their brothers and sisters and their families and their friends, and sometimes with their enemies. I mean, that's hard out, isn't it? That's real conversion, if you think about it, where you want to be reconciled with your enemies. Okay, hi. Yeah. The story, it continues a little bit more, doesn't it? This reconciliation, this absolute... Yeah, the other thing about it that strikes me is just this, the fact that Tamihana Te Rauparaha is the son of Te Rauparaha, the great Ngāti Toa chief, who carries a lot of mana, obviously, and he is, well known for all his campaigns and, defeating a lot of people. So for his son to then become a Christian, that's huge, and to say, actually, I don't want to go the way of my father's campaigns, but I want to preach a gospel of peace. He actually, with his cousin, Martin Te Pipi, they go down to the South Island where, they were the enemies of Te Rauparaha. And they go down there, and the son of Te Rauparaha preaches the gospel of peace to them. And it said that he took this gospel, the gospel of Tārori, her copy of St. Luke, with them as they went down there. And they preached the gospel of peace. And these people were afraid, first of all. And they're like, is your dad coming to get us again? And they're like, no, he's not, and we're preaching a gospel of peace. And they listen. You'd listen, wouldn't you? and they listen to that. It's wonderful. Now, it wasn't until it was a few years later that Martin Te Pipi and Tamihana Te Rauparaha decide, actually, we would like someone from the mission station up north to come down and speak to us and tell us more about this Jesus that we're already following and, this gospel, because we know that probably there are other gospels as well, not just Luke's gospel. Let's hear a few more and so on. So these Christian men go up to the Bay of Islands and they the story, they get Octavius Hadfield to come down, who's severely asthmatic and thinks he's going to die quite soon. He's like, well, I might as well die down there. That's literally what he said. Might as well die down there as up here. So he comes down. And, of course, he lived a very long time in the end. He didn't die at all. There's one story. I don't know if you've heard this one, but, there was the pa down there on the other side of the river. When he first came down, he did something unintentionally, but that was offensive, and Tohunga cursed him, and everyone was like, oh, what's going to happen? And a couple of days later, the Tohunga died, which is quite serious. And this is right at the beginning of his time here, down in this part of the country. So it's a few days in. The Tohunga dies. On Sunday, he gets up to preach. 1,000 people turn up. Because everyone knew about this. Tohunga cursing him and then dying. And they're like, we need to hear what this guy's got to say. That's quite incredible, isn't it? So the power of the gospel. And the fact God moves powerfully, and he still moves powerfully today. He's moved powerfully in your lives and in my life. And we want to see him reaching out more and more to others. I just think it's a wonderful story and a good encouragement that God's, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brought, you know, to abolish death and brought life and immortality to light, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a living gospel. You know, it lives in us. And as we, it's not just in an instant. It's not just, you know, these guys, it could be months and months that you spend with somebody. It could be years that you spend with somebody. But it's worth it, spending that time with them, just sharing the love of God, and every now and then using a few words to back it up, and definitely using our lives. And sometimes it's quick and sometimes it's not. But we keep faithfully praying for people because the gospel changes lives. It's changed lives in this region. It's changing lives right now, today, you know, and it keeps changing lives. So let's just finish with a prayer, shall we, as we reflect on this wonderful story that's a living story. It's taken place in this region. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, for the power of your gospel to change lives. We thank you for the way that you changed so many lives in this story, and for the way that you've changed ours too. We thank you, Lord, for the massive turning around of someone like Narkuku, who forgives and seeks reconciliation rather than the revenge. And I'm reminded of that story in the Gospels where the James and John, the sons of thunder, call down, they want to call down fire on that Samaritan village who are getting in the way. And Jesus says to them, "What spirit are you of? What spirit are you of? That's not my way. That's not my spirit, because my way is to bring life and light, to abolish death. My way is not a way of revenge, but a way of bringing life. Forgiveness, reconciliation, hope, love, light, peace, joy, righteousness." So, Lord Jesus, we ask that in your name we would be people who, in these strange times, which are going to be strange, you know, that we be people that follow you, that bring some of your light, your life, your hope, your goodness, that living gospel, that we would live the gospel, that we'd be people that are more and more like you, Jesus. That you'd take us each step along the way to make us more and more like you. That we'd follow you, walk with you, and you with us. And bring your life to the people around us. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen.
Revival in this land. Let the part of your spirit that's been inspired and touched by that story